Good evening, friends and brethren. So good to see you tonight. About a year ago, we made a study and presented some lessons on a message to tell. And what those lessons were about was a study of the days after the resurrection of Christ. And we looked at Luke chapter 24 and some of the parallel passages that would go with that in the Gospels about the days after the resurrection. What I'd like to do from now to the end of the year, probably on some Sunday evenings, is do some lessons from the book of Acts, kind of a continuation of those lessons, a message to tell. Now, here in a month or so, Brent's going to be starting a class in the book of Acts in one of the side classrooms on Sundays and Wednesdays, and some will be attending that. Now, his lessons in that class is going to be more in-depth than what we're going to do in this. We're kind of doing an overview of the first, I'm not sure yet, 10 or 11 chapters of the book of Acts. The first years, really, after the resurrection of Christ, the establishment of the church, and some of the events that took place. And so tonight is just kind of to get us started on that. I'd like us to take our Bibles and let's go to Luke 24 for just a few minutes here. And recall, if we can, the excitement in the days following the resurrection. Because it was absolutely an amazing time. Amazing perhaps both in bewilderment and excitement. We tried to get a picture in our mind of what the disciples saw and what they were experiencing when they realized that the grave was empty. And in those days, it set the course for the weeks and months and even years that were to come after the resurrection and the establishment of the church. And we talked even at that time, as we were making that study, about how we might wish that we could have the same excitement. And that we might wish that we would be so ready and anxious to tell others about the message. Because surely that's what I see with those disciples of that time. They couldn't wait to tell others what they had experienced and what they had seen. I mean, at first, regarding the death of Jesus, well, there was bewilderment for sure, wondering how this could be and what has happened. And then when the empty tomb was discovered, then they were all wondering, well, what does this mean? They still didn't have all the pieces pulled together. And in Luke chapter 24, when the grave was found to be empty, it was with amazement and still maybe with some of that bewilderment when they were wondering, what does it mean? But there was that empty tomb, and they knew he had been risen. And there were some who remembered the words of the Lord. Chapter 24 and verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. You know how that is. Sometimes we're told about something and it kind of slips our mind until after it takes place, and it finally hits us. Oh, yeah, we knew about that. And it seems as though it was that way with the disciples, that the event had to happen and take place, and then they were reminded, and it was like, oh, yeah. But still, they weren't sure what was going to happen yet. But they did know this part, that they had to tell the others. Because those who had found the tomb empty turned and went to tell the other disciples. And verse 9, and they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. They went and told the apostles and the other disciples that were gathered there. They couldn't wait to tell them that the tomb is empty. Well, the word to the apostles, wasn't immediately accepted. Even the apostles did not understand all that was happening and what was going on. Because in verse 11 it says that their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. That is, they did not believe Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of Mary, the mother of James, and also that would be the mother of Jesus. They didn't believe these words. But there were some, like Peter and John, who ran to the tomb. They had to go see for themselves. And they had to experience that themselves. And in John's account of that, we find them running to the tomb. to see who would get there. And they went inside and they saw the linens, the burial linens. And finally, it says, they believed. There was no denying anymore. And now they were starting, maybe, to understand the significance of this event and all that was happening. And soon they would be going and telling others as well. But in Luke 24, do you remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? We were reminded about that even this morning. The two men on the road to Emmaus who were walking along, just the two of them, by themselves, and they were talking about all the events taking place in Jerusalem. Because it must have been something. Seemingly everyone knew about the events of the crucifixion, and certainly now the resurrection, the tomb being empty. I mean, this was the talk, this was the buzz. And as they were walking along the road, going to Emmaus, it was Jesus who came and walked with them. But they didn't know that was Jesus walking along with them. And as we said, everyone was talking about these events. And when Jesus said to them something to the effect that, you know, what is this that you're speaking about? One of them said, are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know? Again, giving us the impression, the inclination of just how many were talking about these incredible events. And we're reminded in the text that they were still looking for the king. That is, a king for Israel as they were walking with Jesus. Verse 21 says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They were looking for that earthly king to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. And little did they understand, the king was walking along with them. Not the king of a physical kingdom, but of a spiritual kingdom. He was right there with them. Well, in time, their eyes would be opened. Because in time, as that text goes on in chapter 24, you know, that Jesus, as he was talking with them, it finally became known to them, verse 31, that their eyes were open and they knew him. And as they knew him, he vanished from their sight. And the disappointment for them that they were with the Christ and they didn't recognize him. But the excitement, on the other hand, that they had been with the Christ and they had seen the risen Savior. They too had a message to tell. And in fact, they turned around, they went all the way back to Jerusalem so they could tell the apostles and the disciples about these things. And it says that they rose up and returned the same hour, verse 33, returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And when they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread, can you imagine now the excitement level in Jerusalem just being elevated a little bit more among the disciples? Because it seems like one by one, Jesus was making himself known and appearing to the apostles one by one, to other disciples. In time, he would be seen by all of the apostles more than once. And he would be seen by hundreds of his disciples. There would be many witnesses of these things. As the text goes on, we recall that again, the disciples more and more have something to tell. They have a message to tell. Jesus stood in their midst in verse 36 when it says, and as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. But they were terrified and frightened. They supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Can you imagine now the excitement as it continues to grow? Because now all of them have seen him as well. Some had already seen, but now the apostles, the 11, are together and they see Jesus as he comes and makes himself known to them. In verse 41, but while they still did not believe for joy, then marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took and he ate it in their presence. Can you imagine them watching him eat every bite? And just the excitement that was involved in that. They had a message to tell. They would hardly be able to withstand themselves. until they could go and they could tell this message. In the latter part of Luke chapter 24, which is a passage that takes us right into the book of Acts, as we recall that Luke, the writer of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is also the writer of the book of Acts. And his story is a continuation. And there's some overlap in chapter 24 of Luke and chapter 1 of the book of Acts as the story unfolds. And Jesus says to them here in chapter 24, verse 44, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Jesus was reminding them that, well, for one thing, many of these things he had told them about before. They didn't understand the prophecies concerning these events. But maybe now it was coming together because he was helping them to understand these things. That now these things have been fulfilled. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning Jesus have been fulfilled. And now the apostles are coming to an understanding that was greater than what they had before, though they still don't understand all because they've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit yet. That's still to come. But now the pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, are coming together. And they're starting to see the bigger picture of some things as it is taking place. Verse 46. "And Jesus said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.'" There's a whole lot said right there. And some things that are emphasized, like Jerusalem, that there are some things that are going to happen and take place in Jerusalem, and that to the apostles, you are to go there and you are to wait in Jerusalem for some events to take place. And Jesus reminds them again that indeed some things have happened because it was necessary to fulfill all things, and that the suffering and the rising from the dead on the third day, this is the story that has to be told. This is the message that has to go to the world, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning in Jerusalem, to be preached to all nations. And something that just stands out to me is that to these apostles, you are witnesses. Jesus has said this to them before in other ways, that they were going to be witnesses, that they were going to make testimony on his part. But it's more of him saying now that this is it. The time has come. And while they may not fully understand it yet, the days of Jesus walking the earth are very short now. Very little time left, but they are the ones that will give testimony because they have a message to tell. Because they have seen the events that have happened with Jesus. They have walked with him. They are the ones that will be the witnesses of Jesus. But for now, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Well, from that text, we might not understand fully what that means. I don't know that they understood what that meant, that they would be endued with power from on high. But they'll know soon. In about 10 days, in fact, they will know and understand exactly what Jesus means. Luke ends chapter 24, giving us this picture in the view of the ascension of Jesus, verse 50. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed him that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. And that's where Luke's gospel ends. That's where the Acts of the Apostle, Luke's continued writing, begins. And as we go to the book of Acts, the story continues here with some overlap. Here we are, and most say around 64 AD, when the book of Acts was penned. And it was a historical account that is looking back at events as they unfolded. And Acts picks up where Luke's gospel left off. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, we already know some of the things that have taken place prior as we studied through Luke's previous account. The 40 days that Jesus was walking among them must have been amazing. Well, to the apostles and some of the disciples, they had been walking with him for 3.5 years. But imagine those days after the resurrection. Everything took on a different complexion, a different look after the resurrection, because now they were understanding more of the purpose of the Lord. And they understood that these events had to have happened and took place. Now the power of God has been demonstrated in this incredible way. The sign that Jesus had promised to those in the temple when he cleansed the temple, when he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it. Now they understood. He wasn't talking about that the brick and mortar of the temple at all. He was talking about himself. That for 3 days he was in the grave, but now has been raised. Now the apostles understand. Now they're getting more of the story as it is unfolding to them. And the things that had taken place, his suffering, the infallible proofs, all of the miracles that they had seen, the signs and the wonders that Jesus had demonstrated, now have all so much more meaning. Because now they're seeing the bigger picture of these things. And among the 11 now, there were 12 apostles. Judas is no more. But this becomes part of the story in chapter 1 as well, because soon there'll be 12 again. But now it's the 11, the text says, that were gathered there with him, as we're remembering once again those final moments of Jesus on the earth. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Think about this for just a moment, what Jesus was saying to them and those who were gathered there with him. I believe it's the apostles, the 11, that are those who are closest to him and those who were there. Because verse 2 identifies something about the apostles that he has chosen. Who are the ones who are the witnesses of Jesus and who have seen these infallible proofs, who had spent time with him after the resurrection. And being assembled together with them, most specifically, I believe, is speaking about the apostles that were there. And that they should wait in Jerusalem, just like we read in Luke chapter 24, regarding the 11, that Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Here we are. We're there. And Jesus tells them, reminds them that John baptized with water, but you, the apostles, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In fact, it would be about 10 days from then that they would indeed be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The apostles were asking. Those who were the closest associates of the Lord were some of the ones who were still trying to understand, where is the kingdom? And Lord, are you going to establish and restore the kingdom, the physical kingdom of Israel? At this point, they still didn't understand, but soon they would. Soon the Spirit would reveal to them and they would understand what the Lord was talking about. Verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I think it's important for us to understand to whom Jesus is speaking. It becomes critical in understanding some of the events that happen a little bit later. That again is identified in the text. He's speaking most specifically to his apostles, those to whom he has already promised the Holy Spirit, those who were witnesses, those who were going to give testimony concerning all of the things that they had seen over the last 3.5 years, that he is saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I make a point of emphasis on this because there is so much confusion about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet when we take the text, just the text, we can see of whom Jesus is speaking and to whom baptism of the Holy Spirit is promised. And he reminds them again, you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We've talked some about how amazing these days must have been for those who had walked with Jesus, for those who had seen the empty tomb, for those who were present when the Lord came into that room of meeting where the apostles were at, for those who saw him during the next 40 days as he appeared to me and the disciples and he spent time with all of the apostles, how amazing those events were. And then they witnessed the ascension of the Lord into heaven. How amazing is that? This is as well some things that they would give testimony about. That they were there. That they walked with him during his ministry. That they saw the signs, wonders, and miracles that he did. They were there when the enemies of Christ came and took him as he gave himself really to them to be crucified. And they would talk about Jesus on the cross and how he gave his life, that no one took it from him, as Jesus said, but he gave his life. And then how they went to the tomb and it was empty. And he appeared to them one by one. And he spent time with them. And they were there when he ascended into heaven. They saw so much. And they had so much to tell. And the events that took place in Jerusalem, that it was in Jerusalem that they were to be and where they were to wait because they were to be endued with power from on high. There is a point of emphasis about Jerusalem that we don't want to forget because we'll be talking about that more as the story goes on. The ascension. The amazing events that these witnesses saw. They walked with them. The crucifixion. The resurrection. And now the ascension. And the angels saying, why are you so amazed? Because this same Jesus who is taken up from you will in like manner come as you have seen him go into heaven. John in the final revelation says in Revelation 1 verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. This was the message. This was the story to tell. We have a story to tell. No, we were not there with Jesus. But it almost seems like we were when we read the account and we read the story and we try to put ourselves in the position of seeing and hearing the things that the apostles saw. And we read the text and we try to imagine these things as they are unfolded. We can almost feel like we were there. No, we were not eyewitnesses, but we have the eyewitness account. And we have a story to tell. And there's more. The story goes on. The next time we take up right there as the story goes on.